This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. There's so much news to get to today, including another refreshing moment of journalism from Matt Lee, who was questioning one of the best and brightest, Ned Price. We also have more updates on the mask mandates, but a huge story we've been following is what is happening in Canada. And that is the Freedom Truckers Convoy. It has not slowed down. They were actually told that they would be fined if there was honking. So I think there has been a lot of silence recently from the truckers. That's one report I heard. But joining us now, and this is a new guest on the Grace Curley Show. I'm very excited about this. Beth Baish is a photojournalist for the Post Millennial. She's also a writer. You can find her on Twitter at Puffins Pictures. Beth, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks.
Beth, the first question I wanted to ask you, and I know you can only speak from your own experience, is there's been a lot of reports about crime happening during this protest, a lot of references to it in the mainstream media. What have you been seeing?
Honestly, I've been out nearly every day and have not seen any aggression. Several days into the protest, the Ottawa police chief even admitted there had been no injuries, riots, or deaths. Another report showed that street crime has actually dropped. Now, if anyone does do anything questionable, a lot more people respond by doing the exact opposite. The Terry Fox statue being adorned with flowers after somebody gave it an upside-down flag and sign is a perfect example of that. They've got volunteers going through the streets picking up garbage. They've set up their own garbage stations because there's no cans. So, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds more like what we've been hearing here from truckers who call in. Beth, another thing I wanted to ask you, and this is kind of plays into our poll question of the day, which is when is this going to end? We saw Justin Trudeau get up yesterday. He's back from his bunker and he was saying that, you know, this really should be ending, that this can't go on. What are you gathering from people as far as the energy and the spirits of the protesters? Are they still high? Are they getting tired? Are they getting discouraged?
Energy seems to still be high. I mean, the protesters frequently hold dance parties in the street. Efforts to smear them and stop what they're doing just seems to result in renewed determination to stand their ground. Many truckers have said they're not leaving until it's over, and a lot of the people who came out to simply support the truckers have also said they don't plan on going anywhere.
If you had to predict, and I guess I'm just going to ask you our question that we've been asking the audience, do you think this is going to end before or after this coming Friday?
I really can't say. I think the fact that there's protests and solidarity popping up all over the place now, I think it shows people are determined, people are sick of it. I don't think it would end by Friday unless the Trudeau government gives them exactly what they wanted.
Yeah, yeah. Beth, another question I had for you. I know you're a photojournalist. Have you seen any really memorable visuals since you've been covering this protest?
I've seen tons. Probably the one that sticks out the most was a crowd of supporters holding hands in a circle and singing We Are the World. It summarized the general vibe on the street, and it was the exact opposite of everything that the politicians and corporate media have been trying to say about the event. More people just kept joining in. It seemed fairly spontaneous, and I mean, there have been more dance parties beyond that. So, but that's the one.
Yeah, Beth, I wanted to ask you for your reaction to this, and I know that everyone's reaction to what Justin Trudeau is saying is different. Some people think he's hitting it right on the head. A lot of people think that this is not going to work as far as the protesters go. But let's just take a listen to the sound cut. I want to have you react. This is cut one.
Individuals are trying to blockade our economy,
our democracy and our fellow citizens' daily lives. It has to stop.
Do you think that's going to resonate with the protesters?
I think it's just going to renew their determination to accomplish what they came here to do. People see the discrepancy in the spin and in how much more tolerant politicians like Trudeau are when they agree with the cause and they're sick of it. 2 years ago, we had some railway blockades across the country, and that took, I think it was a couple of months before anyone started to try to do anything about it. So, yeah, I think the protesters are just sick of it.
Yeah,
and they're not going to stand for it.
I'm getting that sense as well, and I know a lot of people here are just enthralled watching this play out and seeing how people are standing up for what they believe. Beth Bache from the Post Millennial, we thank you so much for being with us. Beth, do you want to plug where people can find your work?
The best place to find it is on Twitter under Puffins Pictures, and yeah, I put most of my content on there.
Awesome.
And then there's a link through to the Post Millennial from that.
Perfect. Keep up the good work. We will check back in soon. I do want to keep talking about this with people. If people are interested in calling in about the protests and what's going on, I find it amazing that Trudeau has the audacity to say to people, you know, you're blocking, you're shutting down the economy. And when everything he's saying is things that he's done over the past couple of weeks, or I'm sorry, the past couple of years, I should say. All right, so Taylor just brought this into me. We have some breaking sound here. This is Alec Baldwin, so consider the source. He's commenting on being back at work after the Helena Hutchins shooting. Is this weird audio? Because usually when he's recording himself, it gets pretty weird. Let's take a listen.
It's strange to go back to work. I haven't worked since October 21st of last year, when this horrible thing happened on the set of this film, and we had the accidental death of our cinematographer, Helena Hutchins. I even still find that hard to say. But I went back to work today for the first time in 3.5 months. And, you know, movies are nearly always the same, you know, everybody's young.
Why does he feel the need to do this? There was nothing in there I needed to hear. And here's another question. Is Taylor out there right now?
No, he has left to take a break.
Why did he feel the need? Was this breaking news? I thought this was like coming.
He knows how much of an Alec Baldwin fan you are.
That is true. I cannot argue with that.
Consider the source.
I just want to play a couple of sound cuts here since we're playing sound cuts. We're going to move on from the Alec Baldwin of it all. I want to play a couple of sound cuts from Tucker Carlson reacting to what is happening in Canada. Let's play cut four, please.
Or consider what's happening right now in Canada. Thousands of truck drivers have descended on Ottawa, the capital city, to protest the tyranny of Justin Trudeau's government. Justin Trudeau does not like truck drivers. He thinks they're revolting. Justin Trudeau likes private equity barons and tech moguls and other people who give him money. Trudeau is not in Ottawa right now. In fact, he and his family fled when the truck drivers arrived, and they've been in hiding ever since. So when the revolution he has been calling for finally arrived, Justin Trudeau wasn't there to see it. He ran away in terror. Kind of sad.
He also brings up the fact, the quote that I seem to be harping on here, which is Justin Trudeau telling these truckers that they're somehow causing a breakdown of society by protesting the exact stuff that is against freedom, by protesting these mandates and these shutdowns and protesting all of this nonsense. Let's take a listen to cut six, please, Jared.
And that's why he's concluded the truckers should be crushed by force. Quote, those who are still helping to extend this occupation must be identified and punished to the full force of the law. People who sent the money should be prosecuted. If they're not prosecuted, Mark Carney fears, quote, the constant blaring of horns at all hours will bankrupt our businesses. Are you laughing yet? So the very same finance ghouls who cheered lockdowns for 2 solid years are now deeply concerned that small businesses might be hurt by the trucker protests. Hilarious. It'd be interesting, by the way, to poll small business owners in Ottawa to see what they think. How do they feel about the truckers? Somehow you know exactly what those results would be, but no one's doing that poll, of course.
Yeah, and this is something that we keep seeing everywhere, is this sudden shift. All of a sudden, these Democrats are very concerned, these liberals are very concerned about the economy and about taking masks off and about getting back to work. You're 2 years too late. You drove people to this. And my hat is off to all of those truckers out there. Keep going strong. I think it's awesome. When we get back, we're going to debut a new segment about the best and brightest. Ned Price just, he's the gift that keeps on giving. If you've ever craved a great glass of red wine, but memories of the after effects haunt you, that's because many wines are chemically processed to extend their shelf life. It's time to skip the middleman and get wines delivered directly to your home. Bonner Private Wines Partnership has exactly what you need. For my first sip, I could taste the freshness. And the best part is, I slept like a baby. No morning regrets. The Bonner Private Wines Partnership is not just an ordinary wine club. They don't sell leftover bulk wine just to add a fancy label. They search the globe to ensure quality. Bonner seeks honest wines that don't need to hide behind excess filtration and additives, only to add an inflated price. Bonner wants every pop of the cork to be an adventure, to savor and enjoy. I really love these wines. I encourage you guys to try them. It's perfect time of year to get some delicious wine delivered to your home while you relax by the fire, get cozy, join the Bonner Private Wines Partnership, have it delivered directly to your home. Your adventure awaits at Bonner. Go to B-O-N-N-E-R privatewines.com/grace for $60 off your purchase. We'll be right back with your calls. It's 844-500-4242. The best and the brightest when we return.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley, she's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and For the Boys. I've got to keep the troops entertained.
You know what? I said we were going to do the best and brightest, but I think we should save that for 1:30 because I actually have more than one. Do you remember the energy secretary, Jennifer Granholm, who laughed when asked how she was going to help decrease gas prices? Which, by the way, I guess she's still working on that. They're still pretty high. Yeah, well, she's back. And we've been talking a lot about how the liberals, you know, they accuse Trump supporters of being cult-like. Wait till you hear her latest remarks on windmills. Whew. She's also got a case of the Kamala Harris where she laughs every time she's about to say something that's pretty serious, which I have to say, I have a lot of bad verbal habits that people, luckily I have all the audience to let me know what they are. But one thing I don't do is I don't laugh when I'm not supposed to. Inappropriate laughing is not one of my bugaboos. Thank God.
Oh, yeah.
All right, today's poll question is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you think the Freedom Convoy will end before Friday?
No, and someone just pointed out to me on the text line, they said, don't forget Trudeau supported all of those protests like Black Lives Matter that were, you know, wreaking havoc in Canada and everywhere. And he didn't have a problem with it then, but now he suddenly has a problem with these peaceful protests from truckers. Tucker Carlson brought that up, so we should play this cut too. This is cut 7.
The very same people who told us we had to defund the police are now telling the police to seize fuel from working class Canadians who are trying to stay alive in Arctic temperatures. As they used to say in the 1960s, scratch a liberal and you will find a fascist. That was a Black Panther slogan, actually. They weren't entirely stupid. In fact, in this case, they were absolutely right. According to Justin Trudeau, possessing gasoline in the city of Ottawa is now a crime. Now, to be clear, Ottawa didn't declare the state of emergency because the truckers lit a courthouse on fire, or shot someone, or leveled a church. BLM did all of those things, but Justin Trudeau strongly supports BLM. He reaffirmed his support the other day.
That was probably the wackiest thing he's done recently, was just reminding people. It was like he was setting it up for people to call him a hypocrite. He's like, oh, no, no, not only do I not support this, I would like to remind everyone I supported Black Lives Matter. So I'm going to say no. I'm going based off our previous guest, Beth Bache, from the Postmillennial, and using my own knowledge of the situation and combining it all together, my answer is going to be no.
93% of the audience believes no.
I would also, though, like to play, just I guess we'll clear out the Ottawa stuff here before we move on. This is the Ottawa PD talking about the protesters. Cut 11, please, Jared.
We have increased ability to identify and target protesters and supporters of protesters who are funding and enabling unlawful and harmful activity by the protesters themselves. Investigative evidence gathering teams are collecting financial, digital, vehicle registration, driver identification, insurance status, and other related evidence that will be used in prosecutions.
Can you say Legos? Lego my ego. This is going to be Legoland, Legoland, Legoland. They're cracking down on the protesters who are having dance parties in the street.
Legoland, Legoland, Legoland.
Wow. That is some tough talk from the Ottawa PD. They are not going to put up with this anymore.
Wait till they bring the horses with cannons on them with the RCMP. There's problems.
Do you think any of those protesters, any of those truck drivers ever went to a school board meeting in Canada? Because, hey, then we got a big problem there. Hey, we might have to get our own FBI on this. Such a joke. Oh, we're going through your records. Like, when did this become what we do now? I thought protesting, I don't know all the rules
November
in Canada.
2020.
I don't know all the rules in Canada, but I thought peaceful protesting was cool. And now they're like, "Whoa, we're going to look through all your records. And if you support the protesters, All right. Well, here's another update for you. Speaking of social justice warriors, it's not just in Canada, okay? I don't want this, Jared, to go unnoticed. Because someone out there is trying his very, very best to get Joe Rogan taken off of Spotify. And honestly, I don't think the rest of us are pulling our weight. That would be Neil Young. Neil Young started this whole thing. He said, listen, Spotify, it's either me or Joe. And Spotify said, Joe. Actually, no, I like to do it like this. Jared, pretend I'm Spotify and you're Neil Young.
It's me or Joe.
Joe Rogan! That's how it went. That's how long it took them. Since then, though,
he's been Joe Rogan.
Really, really trying. He's trying to get Taylor Swift on board. He's trying to get Barry Manilow on board. I'm talking about the real hit makers of our time. And it's just not happening. And so now
what he's, I haven't the monkeys pulled their music.
Now what he's saying, he got Joni Mitchell. That was one check for him. And everyone's like, who?
We need you, Captain Andor Tennille.
And he got the guitarist from Bruce Springsteen's band. So, yeah. That tells you everything you
Between
need to know.
Red and blue.
Not Bruce Springsteen, just his guitarist, just to clarify that. But now he's telling Spotify employees to leave before the company eats up your soul. I'm starting to think that this is less of like a liberal thing and more of, is Neil Young okay? Do we need to check in on him? This seems...
Speaking of wacko Canadians.
Yeah, he's posted on his website that employees there should leave the company. To the workers at Spotify, I say Daniel Ek, that's the CEO, is your problem, not Joe Rogan. Ek pulls the strings. Get out of that place before it eats up your soul. The only goals stated by Ek are about the numbers, not art, not creativity. Young also informed followers that he would be moving money from top U.S. banks because they continue to fund the fossil fuel industry. Oh, he's, you know what? I got to give Neil some advice here. And far be it from me to give Neil Young advice. I'm not a songbird of my generation. Although that's debatable. You got to stay, you got to focus on one thing. Now you're getting into Biden territory. You're trying to tackle too many things at once. You're going after Joe Rogan, and now you're going to tackle the fossil fuel industry. It's too much. You need to streamline. When you go in to Taylor Swift's HQ and set up your presentation for why she should pull her music off Spotify, you can't be all over the place. Got to have one solid goal. Boy, oh boy. All right, when we get back, I promise we're going to do the best and the brightest. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I just delivered the huge news that Neil Young is telling Spotify employees to leave before the company eats up their soul. Can I just also mention, he seems like he'd be a really fun guy to hang around with. Doom and gloom. I'd rather sit with Dr. Fauci at a dinner party than Neil Young. He's so concerned about this, about Spotify. And it turns out that he's also moving his money from a top U.S. bank because U.S. banks continue to fund the fossil fuel industry. I'm almost wondering if he's angling for a position in Biden's White House. And if not, he could always get one in Kamala's administration because she's losing people left and right. There's got to be some job, some social media marketing intern who needs an assistant where Neil Young could help out. Now, speaking of Joe Rogan, Trump also sent out a statement. He's been sending out a lot of statements lately, telling Joe Rogan to stop apologizing during Spotify podcast saga. He said Joe Rogan is an interesting and popular guy, but he's got to stop apologizing to the fake news and the radical left maniacs and lunatics. How many ways can you say you're sorry? Joe, just go about what you do so well and don't let them make you look weak and frightened. That's not you, and it never will be. There's a lot of people who think that you should just never apologize. There is something to that. It definitely worked for Donald Trump. It doesn't suit everyone. Some people have no issue apologizing if they really in their hearts think they did something they regret. But I've seen that a lot on Twitter from people like Donald Trump Jr. and other Republicans saying, you know, you can't. It's not the apology, which, and this is something I do believe. It's not the apology the mob is after. You know, to them, that does not make a difference. It is really the cancellation that they're going for. So apologizing is not going to, it's not, even if you're doing it in good faith, it's not going to get you anywhere. To that extent, I will agree. All right, now, we have a really fun new segment planned. And this is, I have to give credit here to David Ignatius, who first inspired us by calling Biden's team some of the best and brightest. And when he said that, he was confused why someone like Tony Blinken, who is so highly educated, you know, and he's such a DC elitist, and yet he's had so many failures in this White House. And it's hard for someone like Tony Blinken because he likes to be liked. And suddenly, he's not very popular. And when we heard that phrase, best and brightest, it stuck with us. Because since then, we've been introduced to a lot of these best and brightest. And they're amazingly inept. Another way they're often described, they were described once by Yamiche Alcindor as the Avengers, the adults in the room. That is who we're talking about here. So anyone in the Biden orbit who comes on TV and gaslights us about how great everything is and how inflation isn't that bad and how we're going to have a green energy in 2055, those are the best and brightest, and this is our new segment.
We're here because you're looking for the best of the best of the best, sir.
You know, frankly, I found the class, you know, rather elementary.
Elementary? You know, I don't doubt that it was.
Can you believe it? My Harvard top. Like, oh, sure. He went to Harvard.
Let's start with Ned Price. Ned Price has had quite the couple of weeks. He is the State Department spokesperson, and I actually wrote about him over the weekend because of his back and forth with the Associated Press's Matt Lee. And at the time, Ned was trying to explain to Matt Lee that he had evidence that Russia was trying to spread misinformation and create a false flag that would, you know, serve as a pretext to invade Ukraine. And Matt Lee wanted some evidence of this. And Ned kept saying, well, this is the evidence. Me saying it. My words are the evidence. In a little while, there'll be a transcript. We can print it out. You can take the evidence home with you. And Matt Lee's been doing this for a while. He was not satisfied. Well, there's a new story, and this one involves Iran. And so Matt Lee was asking Ned Price on what he was, you know, talking about whether the Biden administration lifting some sanctions actually benefits Iran. And Ned Price, once again, tried to give him the runaround. Let's hear cut 10.
I don't understand how you can say that Iran gets no benefit in this. I don't understand how you can say that Iran gets no benefit and that this isn't some kind of sanctions relief that the administration has offered to Iran before it has made any of its own concessions.
Matt, the question I was responding to took this.
Okay, then forget about the question you think you were responding to.
Pause it here for a sec. I want to point something out here, and I love this. Okay. Matt Lee, I don't know if it was because of all of the attention his last conversation with Ned Price received, but he smells blood in the water at this point. He understands that there is a real lack of journalism out there, that there is a desire to see that journalism, that people want to see this back and forth, that people are thirsty and hungry for it. And so now that he smells blood in the water, he's on to something. And I have a feeling Ned Price knows it too. Ned's like, oh no, we've poked the bear. Continue.
Answer my question. Does Iran benefit at all from the waivers that were signed?
You will need to ask the Iranian government whether they think this is a benefit to them.
Well,
who do you think
this benefits?
This is a benefit to us. The ability of third-party entities to work on nuclear non-proliferation projects,
okay, I'm sorry, no,
nuclear
is,
safety
is
projects
the US,
in Iran, in the face of our growing concerns, non-proliferation and nuclear safety concerns, that is in our benefits. Yes.
The people that this benefits, in fact, are actually Russian, Chinese, European companies, right? Is that what you're saying?
Matt, I'm saying that it is manifestly to our advantage.
And not Iran's.
It benefits us to address nuclear safety and nuclear non-proliferation concerns.
If you're able to argue that Iran gets no benefit out of this successfully, which you haven't convinced me of, but anyway, but if you're able to, then good on you.
Round one, fight!
Yikes. I have a feeling we're going to be getting one of these a week. And of course, that is not the only best and the brightest we have. We also, there's this whole conversation about us being, every time I hear this, I can't help but laugh. Like, we're going to be a green energy superpower. We talked about this yesterday, this idea that we are the only country that is shooting ourselves in the foot, trying to appease like the Greta Thunbergs, who, by the way, she's not even, where is Greta from?
Sweden.
We're trying so hard to make Greta happy. And in that pursuit, we are falling behind places like China. We're creating
blah, blah, blah.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. But they get on every day and they say, we're going to be a clean energy superpower in 30 years, in 40 years, to which everyone's like, why don't you worry about right now? Why don't you try to fix one thing that's happening now? We'll worry about 2050 tomorrow. But they're repeating this line. Let's hear cut. This is Jen Psaki. She's the teacher's pet of the best and brightest. She's the number one student here. This is cut 15.
What about encouraging the investment in drilling in other places in the U.S.?
Again, I think the president's view is that we are, it is a huge advantage to us to be a leader in the clean energy transition. And over the course of years and decades, we've become a clean energy superpower because ultimately that's not just where the jobs are, it's where the strategic advantage will lie in 10, 20, 30 years.
That's what Jake Sullivan was saying yesterday, too.
Blah, blah, blah.
10, 20, 30 years. Pretty soon you start talking about real time. And he was saying the same thing. We're going to be a green energy superpower. You know what I preferred? I preferred being a regular energy superpower. The green's cool. We should work on that for sure. But maybe we can focus on just being the regular energy superpower for right now. Now, since we're talking about this is another person in the best and brightest. This is Biden's energy secretary, Jennifer Granholm, like I pointed out, she does have a habit of laughing at things that are not funny. That seems to be something that is contagious at the Biden White House. And she's talking about solar panels and wind turbines and how this can actually be a peace plan. Oh, boy. This is cut 13.
This ministerial arrives at a unique and a timely moment for all of us. Obviously, high energy prices have been putting a strain on households on both sides of the Atlantic. Europe, you have seen prices go through the roof. Of course, tensions between Russia and Ukraine pose threats to the energy security of the European Union and our friends and partners. And all of this, to your point, underscores the benefits of clean energy. I was at a ministerial last week, and the my counterpart in Ireland, Minister Ryan, said words that I thought were very interesting. No country has been held hostage to access to the sun. No country has been hostage to the wind. This is not just an energy and climate issue. It also is potentially the greatest peace plan that ever existed, to be able to build out energy independence from clean energy.
You know what? I'm actually starting to think Neil Young might be an improvement. We need Neil Young in there. It can't get worse than this. Peace plan. Oh, good God. It's just so strange that these are really the best and the brightest. These are the people that are in charge. And they're consumed with this global warming. And it doesn't seem like anywhere else is as focused on it as we are here. 844-500-4242. We will take your calls when we return. We have a lot more to get to, a lot of fun to be had, so don't go anywhere. You've always wondered if the Thunderstorm air purifier works, and this is the best time to find out with BOGO. That's buy one, get one. Officer Mark wrote, just this weekend, I just placed another order with Eden Pure. I bought the BOGO air purifier to expand my use in the house. What a great product. Just after one day's use, my humble home has clean air scent that is so different from air purifiers that we've tried before. This really is a great product because it doesn't try to cover up the smells in the air. It actually purifies the air. Jared, explain to people how this works.
So this device is so small that you just have to plug it into a regular wall outlet. That's it. You plug it in, you turn it on, and it immediately starts ionizing the air. It sends out ions, and that creates a super oxygen, which gets rid of, it doesn't cover up, like Grace said, it gets rid of any odors, some allergens, pollutants, some viruses, just nasty stuff in the air that you don't want to breathe. And I may not be the best and the brightest, but I will tell you, there is a huge advantage to being a clean air superpower.
Yes, there is. Do what Officer Mark did and do what Jared did. Take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer. You just buy one and get one. BOGO is extended until Sunday, February 13th. So go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code GRACEBOGO. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACEBOGO. Shipping is free. We'll be right back. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Who's better than Grace Curley?
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. We're talking about everything today, from the mask turnaround to Joe Rogan to what's happening in Ottawa. The truckers convoy continues. And even though people are slowly but surely figuring out that we can maybe return back to normal, there are still people who are really, really obsessed with demonizing anyone who doesn't agree with them as far as vaccines go. One of those people is James Carville. This is a cut that I think people should hear because it reminds me a lot of the Howard Stern cuts we were talking about a few weeks ago. This kind of carte blanche that the left thinks they have if someone doesn't do what the experts tell them to. Let's take a listen here. Cut 26.
What we should do is pass a law to make you immune from liability if you punch some unvaccinated person right in the faces, which I'd really like to do. If you ask me when, you know, what's my first reaction to you if you're not vaccinated and there's, you don't have any medical reason not to be, you're a piece of shit. Okay? I'll just punch you right in the goddamn face. That's the way I look at these people.
Agreed.
I love the agreed. Oh, totally. Right on board with that. That's very tolerant and rational. You don't sound crazy at all.
That was Al Hunt, by the way. That was on the Politics War Room with Al Hunt podcast.
And the nuttiest part, I brought this up earlier, but when this turnaround happens and you're already seeing it in the New York Times, in New Jersey, in Connecticut, in Delaware, they're going to start telling kids you don't have to wear masks. And within the next couple of weeks, we're going to start to be told by these gaslighters in the White House that it was always Republicans who wanted to mask children. I'm telling you, you mark it down. I said it right now. That is going to be the new line of attack. And by the way, Hakeem Jeffries was spewing complete garbage today, and he was giving Biden credit for why states are dropping mask mandates when the White House, I'm pretty sure, Jared, Jen Psaki said they're not changing their policy. They still think that masking should be the way to go. But yet, it's amazing how they can have their cake and eat it too. Yet Joe Biden deserves our praise for these states deciding to go against the White House. This is cut 29.
And the Omicron variant is in retreat. And that's not by accident. That's because under President Biden's leadership, a public health infrastructure was put into place, beginning with the American Rescue Plan, without a single Republican vote, to ensure that we can do everything possible to crush the virus. And that is what has been happening.
You got to put more into it than that. He doesn't even sound like he believes what he's saying. That is what is happening.
600,000 dead under Biden, I believe, that Joe Biden is directly responsible for, if those are the rules, correct?
Yeah, no, the rules are the blood is on his hands.
Yeah, great policy. Well done, Joe.
And the rules are he should resign.
Yeah,
Can't be president if you are overseeing that many deaths.
That's like 600,000 Abraham Lincoln assassinations.
Yes, it is.
Under his watch.
And also, Randy Weingarten she's expressing her support for unmasking kids, although she does have a few rules that go with it. This is cut 27.
I am in favor of an off-ramp on masks.
Right.
The real issue becomes, is the spread low enough so that there's no dissemination or transmission in schools? And it's not the teachers transmitting to kids. It's more kids, particularly in elementary schools right now.
So she said when there's no transmission, so zero transmission. So that means she's not in favor of an off-ramp.
Yeah, I was having a conversation with somebody who was, kind of upset about the fact that there are a lot of school districts now that are forcing, like I think it was Iowa or Indiana, that are forcing schools to put the lesson plans online and that sort of stuff. And it's like, well, I can understand where, like, that may be a burden for teachers to have to do that. It doesn't necessarily give them flexibility. But the problem is your unions bleeped around and found out. They brought this on themselves by trying to hold out for all this masking and all this new stuff and playing hardball.
Yeah, they were too cute by half.
Yep, exactly. And that is directly the result and the punishment they have to take for it.
But I do want to point out here that if you are one of these people who is still going to send your kid to school with the mask on, then you're more loyal than the most loyal at CNN, because even they are losing their enthusiasm for this nonsense. 844-500-4242. A lot more to get to. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.